You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back, everyone, to part two of this week's mailbag. As you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, as you can see, it is just myself, Robbie, and Snail with you on this episode. Garrett had to bow out at the last second, so it is just me and Snail, as per typical, usually at this point, running this ship here. Part one came out earlier in the week. You can go check that out. We have another 10 questions coming your way this evening, and we will waste no time in getting started. The first question this evening is going to Snail. And Garrett did not add the question asker on this one. So if you ask this question, I apologize for Garrett's error. But the question is the correct way to unroll toilet paper on the holder from over or from under? And yes, there is a correct answer to this.
Yeah, so this is totally a Brian question, I feel like. So I'm a complete farm animal, and I actually didn't know that there was a correct way to do this at all. I put it on whatever way it goes on, because typically, if I'm putting toilet paper on the roll, it's because it's a 5-alarm fire emergency and I've run out and I've had to, you know, I've had to, in a rush of sorts, find the toilet paper and get back to the throne. But I did a little research and I looked it up, and apparently the correct answer is over, not under. So,
yeah, that is, from my understanding, that is generally the consensus on this question is normal sane people go from over when they're putting their toilet paper roll on. I know I do. Yeah, I think, and I think if you did like a census on it, most people would go that way. So I'm assuming that's what Ryan thinks is the right answer. But I mean, if he comes back and says it goes under, then we can just block him from ever asking any more questions. But
and then yeah, there are for a long time I was just a wet wipe user, actually didn't even use normal toilet paper, and then I learned that even though it is a flushable wet wipe, those things don't flush or break down in the sewer pipes well. I got to tell you a quick story. This will be quick. So I, this was during COVID, right before COVID, my partner, she moved in with me and she was like, you know, you really shouldn't be using wet wipes all the time. And I was just like, screw that. I'm not going to listen to you. Wet wipes are just like the superior method for wiping. Mm-hmm. And then, she eventually was just like, it's really not good for the pipes and stuff. Like, and I was like, I've never heard any of this. I'm also not looking into this or listening yeah. to people that tell me fair, otherwise. Fair. So I'm continuing my use of wet wipes. One day I'm pulling into my driveway and there's a massive, you know, those like signs when like the like freeway lane is closed. It's got like all the little light bulbs or whatever. And it has a message on it. It says, please do not flush wet wipes. And they're doing work on the sewer pipes on our street. And I was like, oh my God. And I'm just like, that's for me. The city rented that out. They have no idea that it's all obviously, but they're like, they're judging by where this clog is in this general area, there is somebody absolutely abusing wet wipes. And we got a bidet, so I'm now, I'll have to remember this over-under thing because, like I said, there's no rhyme or reason to how I've been doing it, but I can have a little bit more class when it comes to setting up the bathroom. Thanks for asking this, Brian. This was, I'm glad we had this chat. Brian asks for question two. Who is one band you haven't seen live yet that you need to? For Brian, he says that this band for him would be Newfound Glory.
I mean, it can be band or individual. Obviously, the answer, Nickelback.
Yeah, we're a Nickelback podcast now.
We are a very pro Nickelback podcast, as we've discussed before. But all kidding aside, I'd love to see, there's a lot of artists I'd like to see. I don't know necessarily bands. I'd like to see Blink in concert. Again, I'm not a huge Blink fan, but from everything I heard about their concert, it's a great time. So yeah, one that I'd like to see in person. And then again, like I'd like to see a lot of older bands. Like I'd love to see Paul McCartney in concert. Even though he's getting up there in age, I'd love to see Paul play.
I was just going
to
ask, is Paul still alive? He is.
Oh yeah. Paul's alive. Paul and Ringo are the two.
Are they the only ones left?
Yeah. The two remaining Beatles. That are still alive, but Snell, you're much more of a music head than I am. So anybody out there that you'd like to see in concert that you have not seen in concert yet?
I mean, I feel like we've actually gotten like this question before, if not a very simple. I've definitely answered this question before. It's a band from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. Title Fight. I've mentioned them a couple of times. If you haven't listened to them, go check them out, but don't get too excited for them because they're on a like indefinite hiatus. I think I've said this before too. I've literally seen like most of the bands that I've ever wanted to see. Like I've seen like through growing up, I've seen like Wu-Tang Clan. I've seen Outkast. I've seen Devo. I saw Blink-182, just traversing the genres. I've seen a lot of the big, like I've gotten like my white whales out of the way, but, for this question's sake, someone new, maybe like Morgan Wallen. I think he actually toured through Washington not that long ago, It wasn't in Seattle. It was like out in the sticks somewhere at some like amphitheater type place. And it's got to be convenient for me. But if Morgan Wallen ever like played at a bar or played like a smaller venue in Seattle, I'd probably make an effort to go see him. Not a huge country guy, but a few years ago, my buddy put me on to Morgan Wallen and I like his stuff. He's good. So yeah, let's go with Morgan Wallen.
All right. Question number three, we're switching up here. We're going to Kim Larson. And they ask, what about an enforcer in the bottom six? I agree with you that we have to play offensive hockey, but let's say we play the Capitals in the playoffs. Would you like us to get someone to match Tom Wilson. Do we have any enforcer type players in the AHL?
So I've been pleading for this. Do you remember in 2018 when Tom Wilson dismantled the Penguins in the playoffs almost single-handedly?
Yeah, he kind of broke like the entire franchise for a good couple years.
He did, and we haven't really recovered since then. He is the boogeyman. He actually did knock unconscious Jamie Oleksiak, who's like 6'7" and like 230 pounds.
He broke Zach Aston-Reese's jaw too.
Not even fighting, just bumping into him. I think it was a cheap hit.
It wasn't just like he checked him. It was definitely a borderline at best hit.
No, it was a Tom Wilson dirty hit. And he acted. I hate when he looks around and like, oh, what, me? It's like, Tom, you just murdered somebody on the ice. Jesus Christ. I've been pleading for this for so long. I swear Sullivan has like an internal like rule with that team that's like, don't retaliate, don't ever fight, don't ever hit anybody too hard. We just play fast forecheck, straight line hockey. I swear he says, because Achari's like a tough dude and he came to this team and I've barely seen him do much. It's very noticeable when he does lay a big hit because no one on our team seems to like doing that. Tanev, they got rid of Tanev, Lafferty. Revo, that year we went into 2018, Revo was the answer to Tom Wilson absolutely manhandling our entire team, and they traded him for Derek Brassard. There's something within the Penguins organization where they're like, no more tough guys, we're fast, and we punish them with the power play. Of course I think we need an enforcer. I've been beating this drum since before I hopped on this podcast. I was in the Twitter comments begging to get your opinion on, we need someone that's maybe not an enforcer, not even like a Ryan Reeves is having a tough start out in Toronto. Let's be honest. A player like Ryan Reeves, he's their Jeff Carter. Like, nothing good happens when he's on the ice except for when he drops the gloves with whatever other tough guy comes over and says, hey, that's enough, or vice versa. But I think we do need some. We need an answer to a tough guy. I thought when Tampa went and got that Tanner Janot, I was like, man, he would have fit in with the Penguins. That would have been like if Hextall could have done a Hextall-esque move and picked up someone tough that can play. I believe Janot's rookie year, he scored like 20 goals or something. Like, that's, you know, and that was his rookie year. You'd expect him to. I thought that would have been like a great Hextall move, but no, he sat back and I don't even want to go into who he picked up. I thought Gabranson would have been a great, like, if he could have been our like forever third pairing right shot D for a long time, I wouldn't have minded Gabranson, someone like him. He's not a liability necessarily out there. You're not counting on him for big minutes defensively, but he's somebody that can definitely go out there and have a chat with somebody who's running around being an idiot, or I don't know. So, sorry, I'm getting a little bit away from the question, I think, here. Do we have any enforcer-type players in Wilkes-Barre-Scranton? So, no, I don't think we do anymore. I think we had this one dude last year. His last name was Devane, or Devane, D-E-V-A-N-E. He was dropping the mitts quite a bit. He's not a heavyweight by any means. And he was not, like, he was a bottom six guy in the AHL. He would have probably never, for any reason, cracked the lineup with the Penguins. So right now, I would say probably not. I don't think there's anybody. Are there people that are willing to drop the gloves? I mean, I thought that's what we got Achari for. Not necessarily to drop the gloves, but to be that piss and vinegar in the bottom six. With the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Penguins, I don't know. They brought a bunch of new guys in, but they're all kind of like fast, leaning more towards like skill guys like Hinostroza and Andreas Johansson. There was another guy. I'm trying to remember. I remember all these guys that we got that were probably going to be in Wilkes-Barre. I was looking for fights, and the safe answer is just no, there's not, but there should be. I think that's something that needs to be addressed. Robbie, do you have any input on the enforcer question? No?
Nah, okay. Yeah, you got it covered.
I wish Garrett was here so I could just poke and prod him to just admit that we need someone tough. All right, question number four, coming from Kim Larson. If you could pick any winger to give Sid from any NHL team, who would you pick? And who would you remove from Sid's line to then move to Malkin's line?
Well, I feel like the obvious answer here to start is the guy he's been paired up with, at least rivalry-wise, since he came into the league, and that's Alexander Ovechkin. I mean, I just imagine – and Ovechkin's threatening the all-time goal mark while, again, Nick Backstrom is a great player, but imagine what he could have done skating alongside Sidney Crosby for 10, 15 years. It would have been incredible. And I mean, Ovechkin's the name that jumps out immediately of the available choices, just because it just feels so obvious. Another guy who's no longer in the NHL that I would have liked to see get an extended run with Sidney Crosby was Marian Hossa. They had that brief stint when Hossa was traded for, and they had instant chemistry. And it's really too bad they couldn't get a long-term deal worked out, because I really think Hossa, I mean, you're talking a guy that scored 500 goals in his career. Imagine what he would have put up if he would have played alongside Sidney Crosby. He's going to the Hall of Fame now. He easily hits 600 goals, I think, if he has Sidney Crosby on his line. I think Marian Hossa, to me, is another obvious answer. Again, that for some Penguins fans, that's going to be a little bit too much of a callback. Some people may not have been, some of our listeners may not have been quite the diehards in 08 that they are now. So seeing Hossa get a full ride, a full contract with Crosby, would have been an absolute dream. And yeah, it worked out in the long run for all sides, but Ovechkin and Hossa would have been my two big picks. And I guess, who do you take off that line? Well, the thing is, if Hossa stays in Pittsburgh, is Jake Guentzel ever a thing? I think that's a fair question. But I mean, obviously Obi's a right winger. You'd have to move Brian Rust. No offense to Brian Rust. My son, Brian Rust, who, again, I've stand basically every episode now on this podcast, but Brian Rust, I love you, but yeah, Alex Ovechkin is a pretty clear cut, going to get that spot over about anybody else ever. So yeah, Hossa or Ovechkin would probably be my two choices that came to my head right away when I said this, just because Ovechkin, obviously, then Hossa, just what we saw in that little stint when he got traded here in 08, just makes you still think what could have been if he stayed in Pittsburgh. All right, question. Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, Hossa. What about Matty Tkachuk with Sid? Just like down low below the dots, Tkachuk is such a terror down low. Yeah. Like, he just makes space out there, but he's got all the skill in the world. Him and Sid, that would be another missed opportunity.
There's so many answers to this question that you could go with that are in the NHL or played in the NHL sometime during Crosby's career that I think could work here. There are just so many options. Well, a guy like Pastrnak, obviously, is another
sure.
name. Pastrnak comes to mind. Even Marchand, when there was like all that talk about all the chemistry they had at that World Cup of Hockey in 2016. Like, what if Marchand doesn't re-sign in Boston? Could he come to Pittsburgh? I mean, there's so many guys that you kind of names that stick out the more you think about it, that it would be incredible to have those guys along. I'm sure at some point they all thought the same exact thing, that, man, what if I would have had a chance to play with Sidney Crosby?
A little bit of an impromptu hypothetical here. Maybe a mile in Kyle's shoes, if you will. If you're Kyle Dubas, would you trade Guentzel for a Matthew Tkachuk at one point, or a Marchand?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I'll say right now, not at one point. Let's make it simple. If you had an offer slide across your desk and it was Guentzel one for one for either Tkachuk or Marchand, are you pulling that trigger right now?
Kachuk, I think, is an easy yes. Marchand, I just there's a lot of miles on them legs at that point, even more than there's just a lot of miles on those legs right now. And I again, I don't think he has forever left. If you're looking at like Matthew Kachuk, is like there was a point last spring in the playoffs where he was probably the best player in the world. He just went on one of those benders, and he can easily replicate that over an 82 game season of being a top five player in the world. I don't think Brad Marchand can do that. So like the Gensel Kachuk would be an easy, like, yeah, sign still delivered, bring Kachuk to Pittsburgh. But Marchand, I'd have to think about a little more just because the age is a question, and he does have a little bit more mileage than Jake Gensel does.
Yeah, I think he actually – didn't he have, like, hip surgery last year too or something? Or
he has some kind of – again, yeah, and that all adds up after a while. I mean, that all takes a toll on the body.
Totally. Anyways, we'll move on,
question,
I guess.
Question number five, still from Kim here. If you had to go to a restaurant, they only serve salad, but you can choose any four toppings, not only vegetables, that counts meat, cheese, whatever you like. You can also choose one dressing. What would you put on your salad?
I was actually just at Whole Foods, just perusing the salad bar area. I didn't pull the trigger on anything though, but, this is pretty easy for me. If I'm going mixed greens or iceberg or romaine, whatever the lettuce is, my four toppings would probably be, a vegan, of course, but even before I was vegan, just a cold, like a ranch dressing, obviously. I think that's the best. Did you ever used to go to like those like Alfie's pizzas or like the pizza bar places, and they got the cold salad bar where you can go and they got those red cups for your drinks? You know what I'm talking about?
We had Pizza Hut, but it was literally the exact same setup.
Exactly. Dude, the ice cold ranch that they had there was hit like no other. I'm going ranch, I'm going croutons, I'm going sunflower seeds, and what's something else I'd get on there? Maybe like black olives.
Okay. Yeah, not a black olive fan myself, but I gotta go with a good romaine. I'm a big romaine fan. It's unfortunate when like every 2 or 3 years they have like some kind of like disease breakout with
E. coli.
With romaine lettuce. I do love a crisp romaine. I think it's always a good choice. See, I'm a big Caesar salad guy, but just because that's like every Caesar salad has like the same four toppings on it. I'm going to go with grilled chicken, like off the grill kind of grilled chicken.
So like hot, right?
Yeah. But- yeah. Not like, yeah. Like off the grill off. Yeah. Not like, like real grilled chicken, sliced up. Give me, just some like shredded, cheddar. Some shredded cheddar. Cheese. So that's the chicken, cheese. Got to go with I can eat about any kind of crouton. I love like the Texas toast, the garlic romano, like any kind of crouton on top of that. And then my fourth topping would be sliced bell peppers.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, and a little then, crunch.
Yeah, not even like the peppercini, like the sliced peppercini, like.
Oh yeah, yeah. They got a little kick to them, and they're briny.
Yeah, mm-hmm. a little bit, and then, you can't go wrong with that ice cold ranch, like you said. That's just, I've never had ranch better than I've had in a restaurant.
No, anything you take home never hits the same.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do to it. It's like it's runnier, and it's always like ice cold.
It's always they must put it in like a 34 degrees like fridge, just where it won't freeze, and for some reason it has. It's highly viscous. Like it runs like almost like slightly thicker water.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's so good.
When you ladle it out and it runs like it's basically water, you know, that's about to slap so hard when you start pounding it down.
Oh yeah. And you know, you're about to get a piece of pizza after that. That's usually what happens.
Yeah.
Phenomenal stuff.
Absolutely.
I forgot the cheese thing though. Yeah. Like a little, some sort of cheese on top, or like I've actually had Parmesan on a salad.
Parmesan's good on salad. Yeah.
Dust a little Parm on there. Yep. That's good too.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. So let's see here. Question six, I believe, Kim Larson still, and he asks, your thoughts on Raquel. He's only got a single point in 7 games. Should he be replaced by a Drew O'Connor on the Evgeny Malkin line? Or should he be traded? And if yes, who could we get?
So my thoughts on Ricard Raquel is he's got to turn around soon. Again, everybody in that top six is clicking pretty well, except for Ricard Raquel. And it's quite a mystery because he's playing on that line with Evgeny Malkin and Riley Smith, which has been a terror against other teams. Riley Smith and Evgeny Malkin look like they played together for 10 years. And those two guys, you thought they would come in rusty with the chemistry, but it's actually Raquel who was here, been here about a season and a half now, that looks completely lost there at times on the ice. I think he just needs to trust his shot. And his shot's wicked. I think he just needs to trust his shot. He's definitely right now gripping the stick a little too tight. Some frustration there with only 1 point in 9 games, actually, and no goals so far. But I like what that third line is doing, so I'm not really a fan of moving O'Connor up just to break up that third line. You've worked so hard just to get it to where it's at. I think you keep that together as long as possible, just because it's rolling right now. And trading him, we kind of talked about a Connor Garland type situation here, but again, that's kind of a lateral move. Again, unless you view it as a change of scenery for those two guys, but I'm not really a fan of a one for one that way, just because it just feels like a kind of a lateral move for both teams there. And what could we get? If you're going just to dump them, you're going to get some mid round picks. I'd say you're not going to get anything too much. Again, you didn't give really that much up to get him if you go back and look. So I don't think you'll really get the trade value there is not there right now. You're not going to get another top six winger to replace him. So I think it's more or less just hanging on to him now, and he just needs to trust his game and let it rip. And eventually those pucks are going to go in.
Are we at all worried yet that he's reaching Kapanen levels of bust?
I'm not, because I still think he does more on the ice than Kapanen did. He's at least
true.
His shot is more pure than Kapanen still. Eventually, those pucks are going to start going in at some point. I think he's going to go on a heater here out west. He's going to get a couple goals. And he's the kind of guy that once one goes in, I feel like a bunch will follow. Once he just kind of just breathes and trust his game and trust his shot, and it all starts clicking. And as long as he's playing on that line with Malkin and Smith, the chances are still going to be there. It's just up to him to put in the back of the net.
Yeah, he's way more skilled than Kapanen was. Yeah. Like, Raquel is like a skill guy. I just feel like every time I see him out there, like you said, he's clutching the stick probably a little too tight. I feel like he's falling down a lot when he's shooting. I feel like I see him going down to one knee, not on purpose. You can see like there's like he's desperate. Like he's really rifling the puck and it's always going wide or going over the net. And I mean, yeah, he'll find his game eventually. But
about he's just trying to put the perfect shot, the shot in the perfect place. Like pick a corner, and really maybe what he needs is an empty net goal just to kind of just to get that ball rolling. Just use the entire net. Yeah, the goalie's there. Your shot's so good. Don't try to pick a spot. It'll pick itself when a guy like that shoots the puck.
Raquel's my guy he's like the one Penguin that probably could score a Michigan goal, like without it being like dumb or awkward. Like I feel like he's maybe he tucks a Michigan in the top corner there.
If that's his first goal of the year, then I'm completely he's like untradeable, like at that point. Like he can't be traded till the offseason at that point. If his first goal of the season is a Michigan, then yeah, just retire his number.
Maybe out west when they play Anaheim, just in Zegras' face.
Hey, whatever works. All right, question number 7 again from Kim here. If you like beer, what kind of brand do you prefer? Kim says, coming from Denmark, they really like Carlsberg. Have you ever heard of or tried a Carlsberg?
I actually have. They sell them out here in some stores. They come in like a little 4-pack that's like saran wrapped or whatever. Oh, I don't know. Do you have them out there?
Yeah, I've had Carlsberg before. You can't get them just anywhere. There's a couple distributors that have like a decent international selection. And every once in a while they have some Carlsbergs. And I've had them before. It's solid.
Yeah, no, it's a good beer. No, no gripes about it. The brand of beer I prefer, there's like a, it's a, well, it used to be local, then it went to California, and then Washington brought it back. The old Rainier Brewery's back in operating. Rainier beer, it's just a, it's a PBR, it's a Montucky, it's a Hams, it's like just average beer or whatever, but it's, we call them Gold Tops out here. They're good. I actually just bought a six pack today for the upcoming weekend. So, what about you, Robbie? You got a beer? Do you drink Yinglings?
Yeah, Yuengling, the brewery's about 3-ish hours from where I live. Yeah, you can get it at literally any bar out here. Like, it's just, it's basically like Budweiser, just on a more local level. Yeah, you can get it anywhere on tap and bottle, however you want it. They've ventured out. They have more, they have seasonal options now. Big Sam Adams guy, too. I do like Sam Adams, especially their like winter lager and stuff like that. So yeah, Yuengling is always a solid go-to for me. You can get it literally anywhere out here without a problem.
Yeah, Sam Adams has got to be like more, I don't think I've ever even seen a Sam Adams in person. I've seen the commercials. It must be like more of an East Coast thing.
It is. They're based out of Boston, so they definitely dominate the eastern seaboard and the East Coast of the United, going into the Midwest. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I've tried Yuenglings once or twice, and for some reason out here it has a little bit more of like this like allure to it. Like people out here,
I'm
like,
sure.
Oh, yeah, that it's probably the same watery like piss beer like as everything else, but like it's just like, ah, man, it'd be cool to get my hands on some of that. Let's see here. Question 8 coming from Kim again, and he asks, would you make any changes to the top two lines? Our scoring percent isn't great, so would you change them, or do they just need some more time?
I mean, it's really hard to complain too much about the top two lines. It's just, I mean, they were set coming into camp, and for the most part, they delivered. Again, there's been chances where you'd like to see them bury maybe one or two more. But if you look at their numbers, I mean, Crosby's over a point per game. Riley Smith has been one of the bright spots of the offseason, if not the brightest spot next to Erik Karlsson. Gensel, again, maybe a few more goals out of Gensel. Russ looks like he's back to scoring ways. Malkin, you could not have asked for a better start. The only real red mark is with the guy we just talked about, Ricard Raquel. Again, when those goals start coming, I think they'll come in bunches. But I'm very – when the team is struggling like this, for me it's very hard to break up the one thing that's going well, and that's the goal scoring. Again, a lot of it is on that bottom six. A lot of it's on the goaltending. So until the top six just looks like it's completely dreadful to me, I'm very tentative about blowing anything up in those top two lines right now. Question 9, again from Kim. If you could spend 1 week on holiday with one of the current Penguins players in their hometown, who would you choose and why?
I'll do two different guys for this, because one is like the obvious, it's Sidney Crosby. I want to check out the East Coast of Canada at some point. I've been all over Canada, but I've never really gone out east too far. I want to check out Nova Scotia. I'm a big Halifax Thunderbirds fan of the NLL, and it'd be sick to go out there in the wintertime and catch an NLL game and kick it. Well, I guess this would be on holiday. I guess he wasn't specific which holiday it would be.
He did not.
So I don't know. It'd go out. It'd be cool to chill with Sid and try to have like a real conversation where he doesn't have his media face on and he's being careful of what he says. Have a couple whatever local Nova Scotia beers with him and crack him open a bit and just get to know this. Like, I mean, we've all known of Sidney Crosby for so long, and he has like a face and an image, but you know that there's like a whole person behind that, that we all have no idea who that person really is. And maybe we've gotten glimpses of it, here and there, but, it'd have to be Sid. But if it wasn't Sid, God, would it be Malkin? Go to like Magnitogorsk, and before all this, the turmoil with Ukraine and Russia. Not to get political, I'm not going there. But I've always kind of thought Russia was neat. There's like hockey culture there. It's that they have a whole hockey culture that if you're a hockey fan, you know, like the USSR team, the Penguins. Over the Russian Penguins, like there's a whole history over there, and they got drinking culture. They like to party and have a good time. I probably couldn't speak to Gino very well, but I just feel like he'd take care of you and he'd be a good time rolling around with essentially Russian royalty over there. So maybe one of those two, or he's not my favorite guy right now, but Jari, he's like a good BC boy. He's on the West Coast over here from Canada. And I like BC a lot. I like Vancouver. It'd be fun to go hang with a guy that has a ton of money and go get in one with them and, I don't know, talk sports, talk, I don't know, that kind of stuff. So what about you, Robbie? Do you got an answer for this one?
Chris Letang, because I really want to go to Montreal. It's just been a bucket list city of mine to go to Montreal. So Montreal's on that list. And Erik Karlsson / Marcus Pedersen, because I think Sweden would be a blast as well. Sweden would be great. And I'm going to throw a wild card out there and say Lars Eller, the Great Dane, because Denmark, Sweden, and that Scandinavia region, I think would be a heck of a time.
Yeah, beautiful places. Never been to those spots either. Those are all good spots to go. And you'd be hanging with someone who's absolutely loaded. So you'd have like just untapped potential of what you could probably do.
Yeah.
All right. So this is the last question to wrap up this mailbag. And it comes from Andreas Kessel. And he asks, do you have any book suggestions featuring hockey? He recommends Total Hockey and, of course, Total Penguins.
Yeah, and okay, so this has nothing to do with the Penguins, but there is one book that I highly suggest reading if you're a hockey fan, and it's called The Game, and it's by former Montreal Canadiens goalie Ken Dryden, and it basically walks you through the great, great Montreal Canadiens scenes of the 70s. It's a biography / behind the scenes of multiple Stanley Cup winning teams that had multiple Hall of Famers on it. Again, it's one of the quintessential hockey books. So if you can find it, you can find it on Amazon for like $5-$10, even cheaper if you're a e-reader kind of person. But I highly recommend The Game by Ken Dryden, just because it is just basically a quintessential like look into one of the great dynasties in NHL history. And another one is it's called The Boys of Winter, and it's about the 1980 U.S. hockey team that defeated the Soviets. I think Jim Craig, the goaltender, is a part of that book in some form or fashion. It's not even a hard read. It's really not long at all, but it kind of, again, pulls back the curtain on one of the more, hallowed teams in the sports history. It kind of gives you a more raw look than what you see in like Miracle the movie or all the applause or the accolades you hear about them. It's more of a, this is how it all came through. It was a hard decisions. We didn't always all get along. It wasn't easy. We had our ups and downs, but in the end we prevailed. It's a very good book as well. So The Game by Ken Dryden and The Boys of Winter, go look them up if you're a hockey fan and like to read. They're definitely two more of a pull back the curtain on some great legendary groups of players.
I got a couple I wanted to mention quick, and they're definitely a little bit different than the stories behind successful teams. The one hockey book I actually own is Orr, My Story, and it's Bobby Orr's Bobby Orr's book. Great read. I'm not a Boston Bruins fan, never was. Bobby Orr was way before my time, but it's a great read in getting into the mind of a young hockey player who revolutionized a certain position that's been forever changed. He's the reason we have guys like Erik Karlsson and Cale Makar. So they're the only people to really be for a little bit older generation, Raymond Bork as well. Okay. So anyways, that's a good one. And then I didn't read it, but I listened to it on audio tape or whatever. And that's Ice Capades by Sean Avery. I love Sean Avery.
Yeah.
He's such a controversial guy, but there's something about him that I love. I love his confidence. And he's a guy I would take on my team just about any day, except if I was in Dallas, probably. That was a bad look for him. But other than that, I like Sean Avery. I think he's a controversial guy and he's interesting. So I check out Ice Capades because it's got a lot of hockey. Surprisingly, there actually is a lot to the game of hockey in that book. It's not all just like debauchery, but the debauchery and kind of the controversy adds a little spice to it. So if you're looking for something spicy to read, Andreas, check out Ice Capades.
All right. And that is 10 questions that make up the second part of this week's mailbag. We will be back next week again with more mailbag, more game reviews at some point. Now, it is getting next week is, at least for us on the East Coast, it will be a little bit later. So game reviews may be a bit delayed next week. So just ask for patience on that. But the Penguins back in action on Saturday against the San Jose Sharks out in California. Again, three games on the road here. Penguins need to start stacking some wins here. We talked about it on our recap of the Anaheim game. So fingers crossed they can get back in the winning column here starting Saturday. But before we head out, Snell, any final words?
Nope. Except for maybe Robbie and I were talking about this a little bit before we fired this up. And it's as of today, it seems as though Jeff Carter is no longer on the fourth line. They've got Hinostroza rotated in there on the right wing there for with Achari and Nieto. So it's taken a year and nine or how many games have we played this year? 10 or nine?
Not nine. They played nine.
It's taken 91 games to get Carter off the fourth line for one game. And it hasn't even happened yet. I've heard Sullivan is as stubborn as a bull. He might just pull this whole thing out from under us and he'll be back starting. But from the way it seems right now, Penguins fans rejoice that the dinosaur that is Jeff Carter-Soros is potentially off the fourth line. And we've got Vinny Hinostroza, who at one point was a very talented top six, somewhat talented top six player. He played with Patrick Kane on the fourth line. So that's all I really got to say. Looking forward to that game. Hopefully Raquel gets it going. Going out west, he definitely wreaked havoc on the San Jose's and the LA Kings of yesteryear. He's had some pretty good years in Anaheim. So hopefully let's get him going. And like, I think we talked about this before. Let's come back with like 4 points, please.
Yeah. Hinostroza today rotated in the fourth line, like Snell said. Here's to hoping that that is not a and not the head coach playing tricks with all the fans, because again, this is something we've kind of lobbied for. It needs to happen. Well over a year now that this should have happened, but hey, at least it seems to be some progress, and we'll find out on Saturday night whether or not this is all smoke and mirrors or if it was for real. So as for Snell, Garrett he didn't tell us where he was going. He just bugged off into the other dimension or whatever, wherever he goes when he's not here. Whatever he gets up to when he's not here. So as for those two, I'm Robbie. We will talk to you at some point within the next week. We got more mailbags, more game recaps. If you haven't checked out this week's mailbag, head over to YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. And also, we dropped our candy draft in honor of Halloween. So go check out our quote-unquote starting lineups.
Go check out and argue us in the comments.
Yeah. Let us know what you think. Tell us why we're wrong. Tell us why we're right. And make fun of Garrett. That's basically our stand on everything. So for Snell, I'm Robbie. Thanks for tuning in. We will talk to you again next week.